Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
We love you so many times. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for being there. Thank you for supporting us. Happy Father's Day to the fathers in the house. Well, it's yet another blessed Sunday, and our mother is in the house, and we really, really miss her. Mommy, today, we really shattered. You know, when your parents are in the house, sometimes they say, when you don't bath the whole day, they'll be warning you, go and take your bath. But mommy, today, you see how the choir is looking very colorful. We've intentionally polished ourselves for you. And to say that, Father, mommy, you are welcome back home. And we really appreciate you. Mommy, we've taken our bath. We've taken our bath. We've washed the bowls. We've brushed our teeth. Mommy, today, dear, we are looking very calm. Thank you so much. She went to Lilongwe in Malawi. Oh wow, some of you just know Eidiasetek. Hey! She visited Pentecost International Christian Center and the First Love Church there. This afternoon, our pastor needs no other introduction again. We are not in the house. Same. I want you to be on your feet. And welcome our friends, our mother.
We will work the field of soul.
Welcome, Sister Joy.
Together, you and I. We work the field of soul.
Hallelujah.
Together, amen. You and I. Some fields are blooming. All the fields are dry. We are not the same. Oh, but differences aside, I know we will work the field of soul. Together, you and I.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Thank you for your very warm welcome, and maybe it's also a very good time to announce that Pastor Isobanda and his wife will be right here on the 28th of July, so you don't want to miss it. I say you don't what? You don't want to miss it. Amen. Pastor Iso is a lay pastor, third in command of the Reserve Bank of Malawi, and yet he has churches all over the country. That building is his building. He has mega churches. Are you there? He'll be here 28th July. So don't miss it. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful. Thank you for taking us and bringing us back. Thank you that we are back together. You have kept us all, and we are grateful. I pray that as your word comes today, let it be a word in season. And thank you for this beautiful family. Thank you also for Father's Day. Thank you for the fathers amongst us. I pray that you continue to bless them, both physical fathers and spiritual fathers, our fathers who are at home and in other places, and above all, the father of this ministry. We bless them, O God, and Father, their jobs are not light. Help them and give them grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Where's your Bible? Let's say our confession before we sit down. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Take your seat. Wow. Hallelujah. Well, it's a blessing to be here with you. And next year, by the grace of God, we are repeating Malawi. First week of June. So if you feel like visiting an African country, save your money, buy your ticket, and let's go. All right? Amen and amen. We've had a good time. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm glad to be home also, and I believe that God bless you, pastors, and all those who work to keep the church running. Now, before I start preaching, let me give you an important announcement before I forget. The first announcement is that we're going to have a convention from the 9th to 12th of July. And in that convention, we're having two prophetic bishops visiting us. Well, one is not yet a bishop, but two prophets visiting us. From the 9th and 10th of July, we'll have Bishop Noble Nobleson over here. Tell your neighbor he's an experience. He's an experience. It's his first time visiting us here, but he's been in other churches. He's been in BTC also, and it's been an experience. And then the 11th and 12th, we'll have Reverend Francis Nissi back here. Amen. So put those dates aside. Do your best to be available. You know what I mean. Sometimes when you've meant something, that's the date that they are calling for some meeting, be somewhere, and something, something. But now just block the dates, and they say, in the name of Jesus, there'll be no meeting and no journey and no something, and I'll be here. Hallelujah. Is it a good idea? Beautiful. I'm already looking forward to it. And then as I announced also on the 28th, we'll have Pastor Isobanda here with us. Now, I'm going to ask you on that day to come early so that we do one service. Wow. Will you agree? Because at 10, he'll be going over 10:30, he'll go back to Bantama. Do you get it? Oh, do you get it? If you say you won't come, we'll have our normal service. I know go ball. But I think, yeah, if you will come, I'll make them even reserve places for you so that you can, yeah. Is it a good idea? I think that you enjoy the gentleman a lot. I think so. Yes, I think so. So if we agreed that Sunday, we just do one service. Is it okay? Not because we cannot have our normal time. We can. But I think I would like you to experience his being here. Is it okay? I also believe it's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was a blessing to be there and see churches. You know, when he was starting his church, he had prayed. He was ready. He didn't know what to do. And he said he got two books, Church Planting and the Mega Church. And he and his wife, they went on a retreat with those two churches, with those two books. And after that, they started their church. And they are still moving on. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. All right. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. And it's very nice to come and see all of you. And the Lord is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Well, we've been talking about tithing, and I want to continue with that. Amen. And today in my message, I'm not sure how much of it I will preach, but I'm preaching a portion of the book I have not shared before in this service. You know, we preached about tithing maybe 3-4 years ago, and this particular chapter I find very interesting, even though I've not preached it before. And the reason is because if you listen carefully, you will hear the laws of wealth creation. I'm going to be talking about it exclusively from the angle of tithing because I'm in church. Are you with me? But I'm saying it so that you know that it's not the only place that it's applying. You see, it's like the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. It's a law. It's a law. So whether we believe or not, whether we go to the top of the building and throw the thing, it will happen. So the laws of wealth creation are like that. And in this particular service, I have a lot of people who you're already engaged in your own business. I need to tell you that salaried employment doesn't make you wealthy at all. I think we have all discovered it all. It's almost like the basic to keep you going. Besides, yeah, you just keep going so that you don't starve or you don't. So usually, it's other things that God brings our way that also brings the wealth. Amen. And I'm believing God that wealth is on your way. Amen. You are very tame. I don't know what happened to you when I was away. I said, wealth is on your way. Yeah. Because this particular service, many of you were here when this compound was a swamp and there was nothing there. And you didn't even own a bicycle. It's true or it's not true? A few lucky people had a bicycle, but you didn't have one. Yeah. And it's the same you that God is blessing. Amen. So you see that some of you, you're driving a little car, some a little bit. You should understand that the story is not over. Oh, I said the story is not over. It's not over at all. So there are some people who are now here. You are the ones who are now coming to get your small car and so forth. There are some, you already have your little car. So we are looking for a larger one, or we are looking for a stronger one, or we are looking for one that we can travel with. Hey, are you not tired of that car? You are driving your car in town. Some of you, when you are driving, if the truck even passes too close, the whole car will do some. But we are moving on. We are moving on. I said we are moving on. The Lord is helping us. So I'm speaking about tithing, and I want you to take your tithing seriously. And today it's a two-dimensional message, because when you finish listening to the tithing part, take those laws of wealth creation and apply them to the rest of your life. Is it a good plan? It's a good plan. Beautiful. So let's start. Shall we start with the first one? You'll be very surprised at the first law. The first law of wealth creation I'm sharing with you is the law of humility. The law of humility. The law of humility. Yes. If you're going to be a tither, you're going to need some humility. Why do I say humility? Because you've got to acknowledge that God is and he has something to do with you. Yeah. But let's look at it in terms of wealth. Why am I saying humility? Because pride takes a lot away from you. This morning in the first service, I was recalling a company. I mean, Fine Protocol will not allow me to mention the name before somebody sues me. But I remember that they were among the first, if not the first, who brought us internet in a certain way in our homes. And even the mobile phones and all that we were, you know. I remember that when they came, they even used to, I mean, you could call them in your house. You could call them that, oh, their installation in your house has gone off, and they'll actually drive and come to your house as a private person. And they'll repair it. I mean, they'll sort you out. You have your own personal something. Then, after, and they were the only ones. They really had the country under control. Nobody else had come. Nobody were established, seriously established. Then I remember the day that I heard something and I said, this company is on its way out. And what had happened was that the place where I was working, we had had a problem. And when I called somebody in church who worked there, he said, oh, I'm sorry, oh, we can't come to sort it out. And I said, why? And he said, because the company has had a new leadership. It wasn't only a Ghana company, by the way. So they were in Africa, they were about number, I don't know, but they were strong. So the new management we've had of late, they said that, oh, Charlie, these small customers. These small customers. So they are going to do the work with only large corporates. Please, how many of those do we have in Ghana? I don't even want to enter, you see. What had happened? The thing that was the basis of their success, you know, they were now looking down on it. Hubris born of success, pride born out of your, and they had now decided that we'll only work with the big people. I remember when he told me that, I just said in my head, that's the end. That's the end. Because in Ghana, anything you do, a lot of it with a lot of people, that's what works. Ah, you are very quiet. The one that you say that you are doing with, I shouldn't even say in Ghana. Do you remember that when President Obama wanted to be president, he had a lot of people giving $10, $10, $10. And that year, he raised more money than had ever been raised in a presidential, whatever. Are you there? But what had happened to that company? Why am I using them as an example? Because pride was what had come. When they saw themselves as small, it was not too difficult to go to the house of a subscriber that they had, to get to a little office, a small town. So it was okay. And so you want to have some wealth. Humility. Some of you who don't have jobs, it's not that you don't have jobs, though. It's the type of jobs. I mean, my training, that's not my training. So my training didn't go with this. This world is not about your training, though. Go and ask. I wonder what training Elon Musk had. I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know. Zuckerberg, he didn't even finish school. You are saying, I was trained to be a... So, you know, it's not an engineering work with this salary. Hey, please, can you tell your neighbor, step down. Look down a little. Amen. Now, in the same way, to be a tithe payer, you're kind of admitting that I don't have all the answers. I'm not self-sufficient, which is very contrary to a lot of what is being spoken of nowadays. They say that believe in yourself. Self-empowerment, I mean, I'm all I need. I don't need anybody. Myself, hey, you are moving on a very dangerous path. It's a very, very dangerous path. And as a Christian, it's not even what we believe. We believe that we need God. Amen? We need God and we need his hands in our things. Amen? And so a certain humility, Lord, I am not Lord of all I survey. I don't have every answer. I need to acknowledge that what I have, even if I think it could have been better, what I have, you gave it to me. I'm doing my tithing. I'm giving you my 10%. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, are you with me on that? Beautiful. Let's go to the next law. Now, the next law, I'm only going to brush over it because next week I'm going to go in depth for the next 2 weeks. This is one of the major ones. Hallelujah. The law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Many of us have never gone to look to harvest corn. Why? Because we have not planted any corn. It's a very, very simple scripture, law. Amen? Sow and you reap. But next week you will discover that it's a very deep one. And there are laws governing that sowing and reaping as well. Because you could decide that you are coming to sow your maize on this stony floor. You have sown, but I'm not sure that you'll be reaping. I'm not sure that you'll be reaping. And some of you, where you have gone to put your money is the problem. Where you have gone to put your money, that's the problem. You have put it on a stone or in a stone. And so it's not giving you what you would expect. Am I talking to some people in the house this morning? But when you are a tither, you are actually, it's a sowing that you are doing, which also gives you the right to reap from that place. Oh, yes. Whenever I have a bill that is disturbing me, I remind God that I tithe. I remind him, is it not an investment up there? When do you go and cash in on your investment? It's when you are in need. Yeah, when I'm not in need, I don't say anything to him. Yeah, but I've sown something. When I've sown something, I start asking him, the Lord, I think it's about time. Yeah, that's something should be coming. Am I talking to someone in the house? You don't tithe. Then you're asking the Lord about things concerning finances. I am sorry. Hey, I tell you, we'll go in there next week. But let's read two scriptures. Psalm 126 verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This is one of the reasons why people do not tithe. Because to tithe is painful. Some of you, it's not painful because what you earn is so little, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, 100 cedis, you are giving 10 cedis. 10 cedis cannot do much. But when somebody comes and gives you 5,000 and you have to take out 500... You understand that? Hey, somebody outside remembered you and what they sent you when you melted it. Right now, somebody sends you $1,000 and you melt it. It's what? A solid 15,000. What? Oh, even when I was moving, going away, it was 15,005. Yeah, yes. 15,500. So it means that your tithe is now a nice solid 1,550. When you are counting it, that's when you understand the sowing in tears. When you remember, you see, the 10 cities, it couldn't do much. But 1,500. Hey! Hey! Somebody be saying, my whole fuel bill for the month is that, and I'm coming to remove that and pay it somewhere. You understand the sowing in tears. But I'm glad to tell you that it is those who are sowing in tears who are the reapers in joy. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Another scripture. We're just talking about the law of sowing and reaping. Give and it shall be given unto you. You have not given. Then you are demanding. Tell your neighbor, next week we shall enter this one properly. Next week. But let's move on to the third law. Are you beginning to enjoy the laws of wealth creation? The third law of wealth creation is the law of prioritization. The law of prioritization. And what does this law say? This law says that you must know your priorities. Many prosperous people, when you meet them, they are prosperous because they have done some things. They have prioritized some things. So when they got money, maybe they could have gone to buy branded shoes, but they didn't. They paused because if they did something else, it would bring more. So it's not that they don't know how to wear nice things. Hey, we all like nice things. Who doesn't like nice things? Hey, ask your neighbor. Did you say you don't like nice things? Hey, if your neighbor says they don't like nice things, tell them I'll baptize you in lemon juice. But are you understanding what I'm saying? They prioritize something. Yeah. When you are a young person and you go to school, you need to prioritize it. You should ask those of us who went to school as adults. It's not simple. Yeah. Prioritize it. Amen? Oh, are you here? And it's when you do the first things that should be done first. That's when other things follow easily. Hallelujah. So you get your priorities right. And when you are a tither, we try to say to you that, in fact, the Bible also calls it your first fruit. So when you get, before you even start to spend, most of us, even before the money comes, the bills are there. We already know that we'll be paying this for light, this for this, this for this, this for this, this for, we know already. And yet, when you get your monies or whatever, you remove the tithe. You are teaching yourself to prioritize. You are teaching yourself to pause before I obey the demand of everything that is around me. I have first thought, God, what do I owe you? And I've sorted it out. Hallelujah. And as you teach yourself that habit, you will see that it begins to enter into other areas of your life. You begin to think, should I be doing this at this time? Because you've brought a habit into your life. The habit is that, especially around money, you see, if you are going to follow your needs and demands, it will not be easy. Before you are aware, you have spent your rent on food. It's true or it's not true. Just because the bills are that large, that's all, you see. But when you begin to tithe, you have brought into your life a certain habit that makes you, before you spend, you begin to think, which one is my priority? Because when your rent is pending, I tell you, you better be hungry a little and pay that rent. Because as for food, even your neighbor who doesn't like you can insult you and give you some. But that rent that you didn't pay, that you are now standing on the road, ask your neighbor, has something happened to you before? I still remember the day one of my young men in church, he came running, said they have thrown them out of their house. Church said, mother, father, children, they were standing outside. It was a crisis for everybody. A whole family standing on the roadside with nowhere to go. Please pay the rent. Please tell your neighbor, prioritize properly. Pay the rent. Pay the rent. Pay the rent and chew garri and salt. I beg you, pay the rent. Chew garri and salt. Hey. And pay the rent. Because as for the food one, something can easily be done about it. Are you in the church? So that is our third law, the law of prioritization. And some of you need to prioritize a little better. Even I'm talking now about your wealth situations. Hey. Yeah. The next law. This is one of my favorite laws. The law of emulation. I like, you know, I like the way we like diplomatic words for simple things. The law of emulation is simply the law of copying. But what can I say, law of copying? No. It's not. When you say the law of emulation, it sounds so powerful. But it's a law. It's a law. The only place we don't copy, young people, please, don't copy in an exam room. I beg you. Go and copy in an exam. When they come, you say, my pastor said that there is a law of copying. That if I copy, I beg you. It doesn't, it's not for the exam room. It's for the rest of life. Hey! Ah, send me cranny. The law of copying. You know, we often don't think we should copy other people. Pride makes us want to be an original. But the truth is that for most of us, what we are wearing today, we copied somebody. Our hair, yes, our hairdo today, we copied somebody. You know, even as you are there thinking that you are a brilliant original, you copied somebody. Push your neighbor and say, listen, you have been doing it too. You have been doing it. You have been copying. Yeah. You have been copying. Hey. And you know, when you see children, they copy effortlessly. Yeah, that's why when we try to learn languages, they are faster than us. Because they are not shy. You know, you and me will start thinking, this Chinese word, if I pronounce it like this, they'll laugh at me. The children will just go ahead and they, you know, and that's how they learn. And it's one of the ways God has given for wealth creation. And we have seen it. We have seen it. Those of us who are maybe 40, 50. Yeah, if you're around 50 and up. Then you were alive at the time when Japan was not a financial force to reckon with. Korea was not a force to reckon with. There were nobodies in the car realm. In those days, when you're talking about cars, Benz was German. VW was German. What again? What? What? The Audi was German. Yeah. The British had their Mini, and they had what? What other car was British? The Rolls Royce was British. The Land Rover was British. The French had the Peugeot. They also had the Renault. They also, yeah. These were the people with cars. The Americans had the Ford. And we were alive to see the Asians begin to copy. And they'll copy the body of the car. And then they'll put on it Mazda. And they didn't know how to build an engine. So they'll go and buy a Benz engine and put it inside. And the car is on the road. Then they called it Mazda. They had the they had the Mazda. They had what again? No. Opel was German. There was the Daewoo was there. There was, I mean, a lot. I've even forgotten some. And the Mitsubishi. And I remember that we didn't even respect the cars. As for Tico, when it landed, it was the source of jokes. Tico was in the 1990s, still early 2000s. We'll laugh. Akoda, who going? Maybe woman they call Labley, because we nicknamed it after an advert, and we'll be laughing. But do you know what was happening? The people were copying. They didn't know how to make cars. They were copying. So they copied first the body. Then they'll be buying the engine and putting. But as they were buying, they began to unpick the engine until they understood how the engine works. Today. I said today. Powerhouse. Nissan. Toyota. Even the Kia. The Hyundai. The Hyundai. They are all products of Asia that was it, by the way. Asia was poorer than us. But today, they are wealthy nations. Why? They copied.
The thing that they didn't know, they copied it, they bought it, they put it down, they put it, copied. Yeah, they copied. I still remember when HP was not a computer maker. They were doing something else. I don't remember. Something. And then I began to see them producing computers. And their computers were not, they were eco-keke. They were printers. That's what they were into. We knew HP as printers. Then they began to take apart the computer. Today, Wenya, if you get HP, come. Yeah. But we, who want to be an original, we are still here. It has taken us all these years to come out with a kantanka that we cannot even support to produce properly. No, it's true. The man is just doing his best. We cannot even... There is so little money that even to give him money and say, okay, you have done well, and produce your car, cry, we can't do. Have you seen that? Very quiet. Hey, you are quiet, man. Are you okay? Or you got a fever when I traveled? Yeah. But what I'm sharing with you is that they got where they were going by emulation, by copying. And the Bible gives us exactly the same instruction. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, do not be slothful, do not be lazy, be followers. Some versions say, be imitators of those through whom faith and patience inherited the promises. Abraham was a rich man in his time. He was a tither. Jacob was a rich man in his time. He was a tithe. At that time, nobody had given any law of tithing. And you are here trying to imitate somebody who does not even open his Bible, doesn't understand what he says. He is more in debt than you. Some of you are imitators of those who are in debt. I beseech you, climb out of it fast. Are you in the house? Please give me the NLT. The Amplified is too difficult on this particular scripture. Saturday. He also uses follow. They gave me another interpretation that uses the word imitate. Just to give you another word. Imitate. To imitate. You see the person do, then you do. You see the person do, then you do. Are you in the house? And you see people who pay their tithe and what has become of them. You may like the Jews or you not like them. That is irrelevant to the discussion. But they are wealthy. Oh, yes, they are wealthy. Some of you are thinking that, oh, Israel, they are only standing because of America. Really? Excuse me, America is standing because of the Jews. Yes, the American Jews. That's why Israel can do things and they can't cough. Have you seen that? You are quiet. Cannot cough. Yeah. And say, oh, these people, they don't have much. Try and see. So Israel itself, they have their money. But where they are short, they have the strongest lobby in the U.S. because those guys are American Jews and they have America by the balls. Jump and see. Jump. My hands are here. I'm holding it. Jump. You say what? Jump. You say I should do what? Jump. You said what? Palestine what? I'm holding it. Your president, my foot is on his neck. If you like, talk. Why? Because even those among them who are not particularly religious, they tithe. It's just one of the things that they do. It's one of their beliefs. If I were you, I'll copy. Me too, I want to be where I can hold somebody's balls and say, jump and see. Are you in the house? In the same way, as the copying is working in physical things, so also it is working in spiritual things. And the Lord is telling us that we should copy those who have inherited the promise. You see that they gained the promise. They got it. How did they get it? It says imitate them. Imitate them. And one of the things to imitate is their tithing. Abraham tithed. Jacob tithed. And all of it was an independent thing. I mean, they came to that realization, I have to do this. I will do one tenth. How much more we who see it as an instruction? Are you in the house? I prefer to follow somebody who is successful. Hey. And those of you who are doing business, apply the rule to your business. Apply the rule. Hey. Instead of trying to be something original. The next one.
The law of seasons. The law of seasons. The law of seasons. One of the laws on this earth is the law of seasons, and things operate by season. It's easy when we look at the weather, we can see the dry season and the rainy season, the cold season and the hot season. But it's not only that. There are some of you, you are in a season of your life and things are difficult and you are trying to jump out of the basket. It's only a season. It's only a season. The season will change. Yeah. So if you have jumped out, when it changes, you are no longer in the place that you are supposed to be. You see, the law of seasons. Whenever I see this law, I am reminded of those of us who went back to school as adults. A friend of mine, she told me that when she pays her, when she's saving for her son's school fees, she's saving for her own. It's not easy. It's not easy. So then when we came to church, they said we shouldn't go back to school. Did I say that? Did I say that? I have to say, because some people are gifted with their anointing to misunderstand. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just showing you the difference. That when you are in school, in the season when you are supposed to be in school, someone is paying your fees. Somebody is taking care of you. You are eating free, sleeping free. All you have to, you just learn the thing and pass. Hey, those of us who went to school as adults, I will never forget it. I repented because I also went to school as an adult. And I remember the day that I went to open my fridge and there was a certain medicine there, the leftover. It was a children's medicine. And in it was a sleeping something. The children were not sick. Don't copy it. I've been repenting for about 30 years, so don't copy it. And I gave it to them to drink. Why? I was an adult student with exams the next day, and the two imps were not sleepy. I said, Mubeda, energy. Look, I have. You will sleep. Why was I giving children who are sick medicine? Who are not sick medicine to drink? Because I was in school out of my season. Out of my free season. I had two children. Auntie Liz, I had exams. I was working all day. The exam is coming. I have not learned. They are not sleeping too. And if they don't sleep, there's no opportunity to learn. I prayed. It doesn't look like the prayer has been answered. The more desperate I get, the more active and alive they are. Oh God, what am I going to? Then I remember this cough medicine. It has some sleeping something, something inside. Hey! And it tasted nice too. And so I caught them. Nope. Because it was sweet, they didn't mind. No. 30 minutes. Don't go and do some, I'm begging you. It's just. The point I'm trying to make is that I was in school at the time when my free time was over. I was now a parent. I was now an adult. And so when you are doing things out of the season, it's difficult. Hey, am I talking to some people now? And right now you are earning something. And God says, give me my 10%. Life continues. So a time comes when we have come to the end of our money earning time, what are you going to do then? Oh, me, I'll depend on your snit. Please, I'm over 60. I can assure you that it's nothing much. Have you seen that you are quiet? Yeah. It's not enough. It's not enough at all. The salary that you are earning, full one, is not enough. The full one is not enough. Then this one, that is partial. And by that time, too, the inflation, too, has chop the under. Hey, that is when you will remind God. Please, oh, my tithe, no, my tithe, my entire earning life, my tithe is there. Please, as I'm here, I'm even still tithing on this little one, but please, I need withdrawals. I beg you to let it be landing. Let it be landing, please.
let it be land. Yeah. The law of seasons. Recognize you're complaining about your salary now, but I tell you that a time will come when even that one is not coming. Not as a curse. No, that's not what I'm saying. Just aging. Just look up. Don't you have parents and grandparents? Just look. What are you saying? When they come, your grandfather comes and tells that, I sold my car because I said, I'm not traveling so much, so I bought this mark. It's not that, oh. He can't afford to run the thing. Let me move on before you say that I've said something bad. Yeah. One of the beautiful stories about seasons is in Genesis 41. I'll just quickly refer to it, but you can look it up. When Pharaoh had a dream, and in the dream, he saw fat maize, corn. It was there. Then some withered corn came, and it swallowed the fat one, and it was still withered. Then he saw seven fat cows, and afterwards he saw seven thin cows, and the thin cows swallowed the fat cows. Not that when they finished swallowing, they got fat. If you are sitting by someone's very skin, tell them that you are the type. You eat down, we are not seeing top. I beg you, don't go and don't offend anybody. But the point I'm making is that they swallowed it, and when they looked, nothing. Are you there? And then when this guy came, when Joseph came and he explained it to Pharaoh, Pharaoh was bewildered. He said, what should I do? Then he gave him advice, and he told him that in the 7 years of fatness, you see, it was a season thing. You have 7 years of fatness and 7 years of thinness, in the of famine, in the 7 years of fatness, let us go throughout the country, and from everybody who has a harvest, we'll collect this much and we'll store it, so that when the years of famine come, we'll fall on it. And by so doing, two nations were saved, the nation of Egypt and the nation of Israel. Are you here? Through that. The things that we have now, sometimes we may not always have it. So when you have it, recognize that it's a season. Amen? You have a voice to sing for a season. Hey, I said for a season. How many praise and worship leaders do you know who are 62? Not many. There are some, but not many. Oh, we know many. But if you say 24, plenty. How many instrumentalists do you know who are 75? But if you say 25, plenty. Hey, it's a season. Push your neighbor and say, that thing you are doing is a season. Yeah, that thing you are doing is a season. Hallelujah. And some of you, your business, it's in its good time right now. Remember that it is a season. And do the wise thing. Hey, hello. I often tell people, if you are going to build a house, build it before those children go to SHS. Hey. Because when they enter that SHS, recently a certain father texted me. He said, I remembered your advice. Now all his children in the SHS, he said, the way his pocket can be dry, he realized that if he had not taken that advice, by now he couldn't build. Because it's not that he'll be poor. It's a season. Hey. What you are paying now is nothing compared to what is to come. Hey, the people are very quiet. And those of you with daughters, even more. The sons, you send them to school with some small gari and some this thing, and some, it's nothing much, something. The girls. Hey. I said, the girls. Hey. Shabaya. The church is very quiet. It's so funny. In some way. No, that's how we are. Hey, the girls. Uh-huh. And you have four girls. Better finish the building even faster. Hallelujah. Anyway, and so when you recognize that there's a season, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 that there's a time to plant, a time to harvest. And so you recognize, this is my time. Let me make sure that, I may only be able to tithe for a period of time. I'm going to do it and do it pepe. Because when the season is over, I will remind God. I'll remind him that when I had it, I never failed. I never skipped. I never jumped. I always did it. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying the season on the laws, the sermon on the laws of wealth creation? The next one is the law of a willing attitude. A willing attitude. The law of a willing attitude. Remember, I told you it is for tithing, but it is also for your life. A willing attitude. It's very important, the attitude that you have. Somebody once told me that your attitude, a bad attitude, is like a flat tire. Until you sort it out, you're not going anywhere. The car may be brand new. Engine is working. Driver is good. The gearbox is working, but you got a flat tire. You're not going anywhere. And that is how it is when you have a bad attitude. Your attitude to work. You don't like work. You only like sleep. When you are sent, you don't like to do. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the law of the land, the good of the land. We'll talk about the obedient later, but you see that they're willing and obedient. So you may be obedient, but if you're not willing, it has an effect. I don't like working with people who are not willing at all. You make your faith die, and it's okay. It's okay. I would rather work with somebody who's willing, who knows less than you. That's why we'll get further. Once the person is willing, they can be taught, they can be helped. But when you're not willing, you can even be an expert, but your use is limited. Are you in the house? Yeah. Bishop Dark says that the attitude of a person determines the person's altitude. In other words, how high you go, it depends on your attitude. If the attitude is bad, you will not go far. Hey, are you in the house? So also it is with your tithe. Because you're coming to tithe, but your attitude is wrong. It won't go down well. It won't go down well. But when you come, you are willing. You are willing. And you're doing it with a willing attitude. Hey, the Lord has given me 100. I'm coming back willingly and happily with my 10 to give it to him. You see that easily. You begin to bear fruit from it. Hallelujah. And the final law that we're going to talk about today is the law of obedience. The law of obedience. Doing what you are asked to do. The law of obedience. Some people will only obey if they understand. But I tell you, some of the things we have to do, you don't understand it. Are you in the house? You don't understand it, but obey all the same. If you're going to walk with God, there are many things you will not understand. There are many things you will understand after the fact. You're going to do something and the Lord will lead you in a certain way. And it is after it. Are you here? God will not explain himself to you. It's after you have done it that you suddenly realize that, oh, that was why. Oh, really? Okay, I understand. Are you in the house? So obedience, very, 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 very important. If you are in a plane, the only thing you need from the pilot is obedience. That's all. You don't need him to understand anything. Hey, they say for the plane to go on the run, press this, go on, take instructions. They say, do this. This is the time to fly. That's all. If he starts to tamper with the thing, many years ago, there was a plane that crashed. And it crashed because the pilot was either the father or grandfather of a young boy. And he made the boy come into the cockpit and sit in his seat, something he shouldn't have done with, at that time, and he allowed the guy to do so. The plane just crashed. Because by the time he realized what the young boy had done, he couldn't reverse it. Yeah, the whole thing, the flight just crashed. Are you here? Tell your neighbor, some things it's not for thinking, just obey. If I don't understand, then I have to think about it. How much do you understand? Then don't eat. Because most of us, we don't understand what happens from the food until it gets into the... We don't know. We have no idea. We have no idea. Don't eat. And don't have children too. Because when a woman is pregnant, we understand everything. Everything is understood. The explanations, they have done now, the science understands. There's one thing they have not been able to understand, and it is what exactly triggers labor. They'll tell you, this thing can help it, this one can help it, this, but what triggers it? Till today, they don't know. Be waiting to understand. I said, be what? You are waiting to understand that when this hormone level reaches this, and then this reaches that, this, that, this, this, this. That's when I, you born the child in the house. We are watching you. No, it's real. They can explain everything. But that last point, they'll say, oh, exercise helps, sex helps, this helps. But they can try all those things sometimes, and the baby, I won't come. It won't come. And there's nothing you can do about it. They can say, oh, if we induce, I remember recently one of my young friends, usually they say after they induce you once, by the time they're doing the second one, they should be preparing for the theater. I don't know what hospital she went to. She lives somewhere. Four times they induced the babies and me. Oh, not today, not tomorrow. So the father called me. He said, the way it is, we are heading for the theater. It's when they reach the theater that the baby said, hey, the people are serious. After 2 days that they have put it on the mother four times, it's against the law. You don't do that. Four times. When the child realized that, look, by fire, by force, you are waiting to understand everything. Suddenly. Hallelujah. You may not understand everything about tithing. Tithe anyway. Tithe anyway. Hallelujah. I said what? Tithe anyway. Be obedient anyway. And I want to believe that the God who has seen us through to this point is the one who carries us further. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I want you to just pray. This afternoon, I want you to pray about your finances. Life is not so easy in Ghana right now. But I want you to talk to God and say, God, I'm going to look at you and believe you. I'm not going down. I'm not going down. Do you believe it? I'm not going down. From today, when people are saying it's hard, don't open your mouth and say it. The Bible says life and death are in our mouth. This few minutes, use your mouth to speak to your finances. And then say, Lord, I will be a tither from now. Whether I understand or not, I'm bringing you into my financial fence. Lift your voice up and pray. Lift your voice up and pray. Hey, I cannot hear you praying. No, lift your voice and pray.
Ring mandala bows. I will be a tither. Mandala ba. Ring mandala bows. Mandala de 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 de. Whether I understand it or not, mandala bows. Shandala ba 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 ba. Ring ma sandere de 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 be. Ring ba la ba 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 ba. I'll be obedient, Lord. And bring the tithe into your house, O Lord. Whether I understand it or not, Lord.
Oh, Father, we will tithe. We will tithe. We will tithe. We will tithe.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We will tithe, O Lord.
Father, thank you so much for teaching us about the laws of wealth creation. As we covenant to tithe, O God, let wealth also come our way. I lift up all those who have their own businesses before you. Father, I pray that as they go back, if there are any of these laws that they have contravened, Father, show it to them and show them how to rectify it. Help your children, oh God. Turn us back to you and help us, Lord, to do well. I pray that we will be tithers, Lord. We'll be those who come faithfully to tithe, knowing that you are the one who causes us to harvest. We give you all the praise. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you are here this afternoon, before you even begin to think of tithing, the Lord is interested in you as a person. He's interested in your life. You want to give your life to Jesus. Just lift up your right hand this afternoon. If you are here this afternoon, somebody may have invited you. Just lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. And if you lift up your hand, let somebody help you to come here so that I will just lead you to pray. Just come to me this afternoon. You have your hand lifted. Let the pastors and the ushers help you. Just come.
Come on to Jesus. Come on.
He said, I'm not sure that I'm born again. I don't know if my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Please come to me. Please come to me.
Your life today.
Your heart is still beating. Just come. We're going to pray together. God bless you, young man. Just come. Just come. We'll pray together. Just come. We'll pray together. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Young men, I want to pray this prayer. I want you to pray it after me and make it your own prayer. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Clean me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name have I prayed. Amen and amen.
With all of me, I want to praise you.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.